Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Pete Gass, formerly of the Mean Street Posse, and you're listening to FalseCountRadio.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong. All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of False Count Radio. As always, I am your host, the Pacific Coast player, JT Evans. And tonight, alongside me, as always, my co-host, the outsider, Andrew Carlock. What's going on, man?
Not much. Are you on the air tonight?
Yeah, we are on the air, as a matter of fact, and we're going to be joined here momentarily by Shockwave the Robot, the international sensation himself, will be joining us live on the air for an exclusive interview. So fans, stay tuned. He'll be joining us in just a minute. Why don't you go ahead and tell them a little bit about Shockwave while we get him on?
Yeah. Do you want to go and get started?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, we have Shockwave Robot on the line with us. So let's go ahead and welcome him to the air. Shockwave, how you doing, man?
Hello. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. We are looking forward to having this interview with you. Of course, you've been doing a lot on the indie scene, so we've got a lot of good questions for you. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and get started.
Affirmative.
Now, I got to ask you, what does your database recall from growing up, if you recall anything? Were you a wrestling fan? If so, who'd you look up to?
That is a very good question. Growing up, I do not recall. I must check my neural net processor. This will recall my most fondest memories. Please listen carefully. That should clear up any misconceptions.
Definitely. Now, my next question for you is, if Shockwave hadn't become a breakdancing wrestler, what would Shockwave have been?
I would have most likely been working at McDonald's, tending to the fry machine.
The fry machine? You'd rather attend to the fry machine than be a cash register or a cashier?
Affirmative. However, my dream job besides wrestling would be to work at a Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Very good place to eat, of course. Now, my next question for you is, they say you captivate audience members between 8 and 88. What about the rest?
No, none others.
All right. Now, my co-host, Andrew Carlock, has a couple questions. So, Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, Shockwave, just a couple quick questions. What is your memory of being programmed at the New Japan Pro Wrestling California Dojo?
Please hold while I transfer and update my voice changing system. Yes, New Japan Pro Wrestling Dojo 2007. What was the question again, please?
What was your memory, Shockwave, of being programmed there in the dojo?
Down at the dojo, that was a very interesting time. My most fondest memories were nervousness, as there were 23 other professional wrestlers in attendance, all vying for the attention of the talent scouts at the time. However, after wrestling Masato Tanaka, I was whisked away, and they were enthusiastic about bringing me to Japan.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that, out of only 23 Earthlings, you were the only one that was selected to go to Japan. You know, what was in your circuits that made you stand out above the humans?
It must have been, affirmative action suit or something to that effect. Perhaps there was not enough robots in the company at the time, so it might have been mandatory to hire at least one robot as to not seem as a discrimination factor.
Okay, now, you know, you're pretty much a national hero during your first tour of Japan. Now, are you capable of feelings? And if so, how did that affect you?
The first tour of Japan, I was overwhelmed. All of the fans were in shock, literally, to see a robot wrestling. And I was in shock as to their reaction or non-reaction, as they just sit and watch the matches very quietly and then applaud at numerous and various times.
Now, I got to ask... Oh. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say, Shockwave, we have a caller on the line. How would you feel about taking a call from one of our listeners?
Yeah! Yeah! Actually, the caller hung up.
It looks like we lost them. My apologies, Shockwave. I'm nothing but an Earthling, so you'll have to forgive me. Now, you had a lot of friction with Mecha Mummy over there in Japan, and, you know, it seems to me like if the two of you joined forces, you could rule the world. Seemingly, neither of you could feel pain, so, you know, why all the animosity?
No, he is an obsolete. He is very inferior. They dug him up out of the pyramids to come and attempt to fight me. However, it took two Mecha Mummies to defeat Shockwave the Robot and a bottle of water, because they knew I was the more sophisticated fighting machine. I was also far superior in the office setting, as I could do more work than Mecha Mummy. He can't even type. This can be seen on YouTube.
I actually saw that match. It was a very good match. And Jason Moore, 420, our chat room, asks, what is your favorite lubrication so that your joints don't rust?
I like glucosamine chondroitin. However, Astroglide, I believe, is the best.
Now, my next question for you is, what do you say to people who say you are the most scientific wrestler of all time, in more ways than one?
This is correct, I not only can entertain, but I am also programmed for various intricate chain wrestling maneuvers. So I would agree with that statement.
Now, why don't you tell our listener, Shockwave, about your comic book?
Yo, chickadee, check yourself. We got the Funky Fresh. Now we got 3 issues of Shockwave the Robot comic book. 2 brand new ones soon to hit the scene at a local wrestling show near you and on my website. We have The Origin of Shockwave the Robot, the first issue of Shockwave the Robot, and the second issue of Shockwave the Robot, in which I fight the dastardly Mecha Mummy. Soon to come out is the 3rd issue, which will feature Metal Master, another infamous and worldwide known professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually, you know, with your comic books comes conventions. Now, what is your experience of going to these comic book conventions?
Yo, chickadee, check it. I go to these conventions, and I walk in, and everyone is staring at me. R2-D2, Darth Vader, C-3PO, Laura Croft, Batman, Robin, and it looks like I'm stepping on their turf. But I just moonwalk past them and dust off a bit of funky freshness on them, and then I go and sign autographs for all the fans.
Now, can you talk about your grueling Canadian tour? It seems that as a robot, you don't need rest, so the schedule is obviously not an issue.
However, I do need a recharge of batteries. The first time I did a tour there was a 14-day stretch, I believe. 14 days and 12 wrestling shows, something to that effect, if I can recall, of which I wrestled 14 matches in 12 days. I was very exhausted by the end of it, as we were traveling from town to town by ferry through the dusty wilderness. I saw bears and moose, and this was not my familiar surroundings. There was not even a place to get oil. Other than that,
now,
it was okay.
Now, of course, with WWE being a PG-rated show, is there any talk about you maybe going into WWE? I mean, it would be prime time for a character like yourself.
Tell Vince to give me a call. I'm begging. I need some work. I would love to go in there. I have vast marketing ability. I have numerous promo capability, voice-changing applications, vignettes, which are unlimited. I would like to end up being a character much like Santino, because whether or not he wrestles or not, he always gets a spot on the show, and you really could care less if he wrestles a match because he is that entertaining.
Now, Shockwave, you have your own film, your own documentary coming out soon. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, this is based on my first comic book, Shockwave the Robot, the Origin Edition. This was filmed about 2 years ago and is in post-production currently. It is almost wrapped up. The feature is approximately 60 minutes and features professional bodybuilder Rick Cancellino and also former WWE, WCW, and ECW referee Hotbod Todd Taylor. Also, another manager, Kenny Castanova, who was inducted into the New England Hall of Fame. He is also starring in it. And martial arts guru, Dave Tanner.
That's quite a lineup there. Now, recently you've actually done some performing outside of the ring. you've gone on the road with Circular Nocturne and doing it with your breakdancing skills. Can you, do your circuits allow you to remember that, or did that just short it out?
No, I would go on the road with them to various towns, New York City, and they would have all kinds of funky freshness on the show, from break dancing to burlesque to comedians, contortionists, much like a jack-of-all-trades show. So that was quite fun. However, I have been mostly wrestling as of late. Recently, I completed my third tour of Japan this past April and May, wrestling for 01 and the Hustle promotions.
Now, you know, you talked earlier how sophisticated a robot you actually are. Presumably, you have the ability to time travel. Have you done any time traveling? Like maybe you've gone ahead 10 to 20 years, which, of course, we wouldn't know because you'd come back to the exact same moment. But have you done any time travel?
If I was to do any time traveling, I would most likely go back to the days of the territories so I could get more work. However, I have not done any time traveling as of late.
Are you incapable, or do you just not care to?
No, my spaceship was dismantled upon crash landing to your planet.
Oh, that's too bad. Now, you're known for being a very religious robot. Is there a separate heaven and hell for robots and humans, or is it all the same place?
That is a good question. I guess my program would I am stumped. I guess there is a separate heaven and hell for robots. However, this robot is going straight to heaven thanks to the power of Funky Fresh Homeboy and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now, Shockwave, on your website it says that you know, you have been able to sell more merchandise than legends that you've been on shows with. Would you like to talk a little bit about that and how you've been able to market yourself?
This is affirmative, because when you go to a wrestling show, please hold. When you go to a wrestling show, who do you go to see? You go to see wrestling now. However, the majority of people that are at the wrestling show are independent wrestlers. So this is the first time that someone has ever seen them. So that being said, much like all the Ric Flair camps and Tom Pritchard camps and Mike Bucci Supernova camps, they all suggest that you set yourself apart from everyone else when you step out through the curtain. So how are you to do this if you are just another generic player one, custom generic character with black tights stepping out through the curtain? Nobody cares. So you have to get something funky, fresh, and out of this world so the people can be captivated and entertained by it. Second, you also have to have a slew and plethora of merchandise that people want to buy. So hence why it comes time for Shockwave to go into the ring during intermission, and another professional wrestler who has had their run in the WWF. However, the kid who is 8 years old or older, possibly younger, has never seen that pro wrestler on TV and does not know about them. So they do not care for that wrestler. So they would rather take a picture with Shockwave the robot.
Very understandable. I've seen your videos, and you definitely do, you know, cater to the kids. I mean, I love your character, and a lot of our listeners have commented that they were looking forward to the interview because of your uniqueness. What are some of your favorite times in the ring, I got to ask?
My favorite times in the ring? This would have to be in Japan, of course, because to me that is something very hard to come by. A lot of pro wrestlers strive for just that moment. They do not even want to go to WWE or TNA. They only care for making it to Japan. So for me to be able to go and work in Japan, the majority of my moments would be from there.
Now, if you were to work somebody past or present that you've never gotten to work with, who would it be and why?
I would like to wrestle Jushin Thunder Liger because I admired him. I have seen a lot of his videos, and I admired him because he is one other character and or wrestler who has to wear a full body suit and cannot make any facial expressions. So it is very tough to accomplish any kind of entertainment and make a name for yourself with that. So Jushin Thunder Liger.
That's a good answer, actually. Jushin is, of course, one of the best out of Japan ever. Now, my next question for you is, what is a road story you can share with our listeners?
Please hold while I change to a more appropriate voice. Initiating human voice mode.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, okay. How's that?
Well, that sounds good.
You got a road story now? What do you want? You want something queasy? You want something funny? I got them all.
How about one queasy and one funny?
All right. Queasy one. We got Viper the Ninja on his birthday. We're at a McDonald's. And I see that we're getting ready to leave. He's going to... this is probably one of the rudest ribs I've ever pulled. He's going to drive away with Shane Alden, another wrestler, and I'm going my separate way with Vince Beach. And so we're leaving there, and I see he has a McDonald's value cup. So I ran inside, and I asked for a cup for water, and I poured ice in it, and I ran to the bathroom, and I filled it halfway with some bodily fluids, some yellow bodily fluids. And then I saw that he had his cup on the top of the car, so I went around and made the switch. And then we were saying our goodbyes, so I was waiting for him to take a drink, and everybody else was in on it. So we're all waiting and waiting. And he opened the car door, and he hadn't taken the drink. So I knew I needed to see the payoff because it wouldn't be as good as if Shane just called me up and said, oh, he drank it. So I raised my glass, my cup, which was really his cup full of soda, in the air and toasted him a happy birthday. And then he took a drink, and it was probably the best sell he had ever done, facial expression, and he just spit it out and threw it and was, like, kicking the air. And it was probably one of the rudest ribs, but one of the funniest ones.
That is very funny.
Another one was coming back from these main shows. It's probably about 6:30 in the morning, and I'm driving, and I've got lover boy Ricky Williams, Viper the Ninja, and Shane Alden in my automobile, and they're all about half asleep, so my whole goal was to pull over, grab a dead animal, open the back door, and throw it on Travis Berg's lap while he was sleeping. So I drove by. There was a dead possum in the road,
And we drove by, and he knew what I was up to. So he said, "Oh, you wouldn't do it. Oh, I knew you wouldn't." So I slammed on the brakes, whipped the car around, pulled over. I found a receipt, and I took that, and I wrapped it around the possum's tail. And then I went to the car to try to get him out, but he locked the door, so I couldn't do it. So I opened the trunk, and I take one of his bags. He had two gear bags, and I whipped it across this lady's lawn. So now he comes out of the car. So now we have a game of pickle going in between. I'm going to throw the possum at him. I'm swinging it at him by the tail. Or he's going to run and go grab his bag, and I'm going to, you know, put the possum in his other gear bag. So he finally makes a dash for the bag on the lawn. And while all this is going on, this lady is peeking out of her window. This is like 6 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. It's just daylight's just about happening. And he got in the car. I was going to set it on the seat so he'd have to pick it up and physically move it, but he beat me around to it. So I jumped in the car and turned the car on, all the while holding it with my right arm. And Shane Alden was in the shotgun seat, so he scrunched up against the wall. And then all of a sudden, they just start going, oh. And I looked over, and some blood started dripping out of the possum's mouth. And I was going to keep driving down the road with my left hand while holding the possum out with the other hand, but the stench finally got to me, and I had to throw it out the window.
Damn. Now, we just have a few more questions for you, Shockwave. Now, my next question is, what can fans expect to see in the future from Shockwave the Robot?
More laser lights, more confetti blaster, and some more funky, fresh robot moves. I'm working on them as we speak. And expect me to be in a town somewhere, and not usually near where I'm usually on the East Coast, but lately I've been getting emails from people out west. I've got a show in Virginia on November 13th. So I'm coming to a town near you.
Awesome. Now, I got to say this before I kick it over to my co-host. In a breakdancing contest, I'd love to see you versus Jack Evans. Now, Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, where in Virginia are you going to be wrestling? That's where I live.
That's it's going to be for AWE Entertainment. It's aweofficial.com, or they're I believe it's on my Facebook page. I'll be posting it on my Facebook. All my wrestling dates.
I'll be sure to make that trip. And I just have a couple more questions. Actually, one of the questions comes from our chat room again from Jason Mola. With all the dancing ability, and you are without a doubt the greatest break dancer in the history of the universe, have you ever been approached from Dancing with the Stars to appear on their show?
Hang on one second now. No, I have not been approached by them, and I have not solicited. I would only consider myself not the best break dancer in the world. I would like to keep some humility, as some professional break dancer will probably outbattle me if I make that claim as the best in the world. I will say I'm the best robotic break dancing professional wrestler, as there is only one.
Now, as a robot, you obviously have a pretty sizable frame. Do you wear T-shirts? Because if not, we're affiliated with a company called Gimmicks T-Shirts, and I'm sure they can make one to fit your frame.
I wear T-shirts. I wear Adidas warm-up suits, much like my Funky Fresh friends Run DMC, when I am not in
my normal naked self when I come out to the ring.
So you're not always commando is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, Shockwave. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on. Is there anything outside of that show coming up in November that you'd like to plug for our listeners?
Yes. Shockwave the Robot will be in Fairfield, Maine and Brewer, Maine this Friday and Saturday for IWE Wrestling. Next week, a double shot on September 18th for TWA Wrestling, and that is in Seawell, New Jersey, and then making his debut at the ECWA Wrestling in Delaware. Then after that, Sunday, September 19th for EC Lucha Libre in New York City. You can chickadee check out all my funky fresh action and up to date on my Facebook page, or go to shockwavetherobot.com and you can find me there.
All right,
okay,
Shockwave, thank you very much.
Word, thank you.
All right, fans, we'll be right back. We're going to go to a quick commercial break and we'll be back, so stay tuned.
Finally gave in to his friend's girlfriend when she said there's someone you should meet. At a crowded restaurant way across town, he waited impatiently. When she walked in, their eyes met, and they both stared. Right there and then, everyone else. But one boy, one girl, two hearts beating wildly. To put it mildly, it was love at first sight. He smiled, she smiled, they knew right away. This was the day they'd waited for all the life. For a moment the whole world revolved around one boy, one girl. In no time at all they were standing there in the front of a little church. Among their friends and family, repeating those sacred words. Preacher said, son, kiss your bride, and he raised her veil. Like the night they met, time just stood still. For one boy, one girl, two hearts beating wildly. Put it mildly, it was love at first sight. He smiled, she smiled, they knew right away. This was the day they'd waited for all their lives. For a moment, one girl. He was holding her hand when the doctor looked up and grinned. Congratulations, twins. One boy, one girl, two hearts beating wildly. Put it mildly.
All right, fans, welcome back to False Count Radio. Sorry about that long music. I was actually on the phone with Shockwave confirming some stuff. Man, what about those sound bites? What'd you think, Andrew?
It was definitely one of our more interesting interviews, that's for sure. I had to mute my microphone several times because it was even entertaining me.
I would have to agree. Now, we're going to talk some wrestling news, but before we go ahead and get to that, I want to let fans know you can check us out on YouTube. We've been updating the YouTube page periodically for the past 24 hours. Currently, we are uploading the Owen Hart Tribute Radio Show that we did in association with the Wrestling Soups, Anthony Missionary Thomas. 6 out of 8 of the parts are up on YouTube so far, as well as the Big Bully Busick interview. And for those of you that want to hear interviews that we have lost, as we call from the lost tapes, there's a lot of interviews up on YouTube right now that are not available in the archives, like Paul London, Honky Tonk Man, Road Warrior Animal, just to name a few. You can check us out at youtube.com/user/FalseCountRadio. That's F-A-L-S-E, Count Radio. Got to put that over, of course. You know, I think that fans should check it out for sure. And, you know, I think we're going to go ahead and get to some wrestling news, though. What do you think, man?
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy week, so I'm glad we have this opportunity.
It's been a very, very, very busy week. For those of you that don't know, there's been a lot of wrestling news going on. So what I'm going to do, and I'm going to invite you guys to do, is head on over to the False Count Radio forums at falsecountradio.com as I pull up my information for us to talk some indie wrestling and wrestling news in general. You know, there's been a lot of stuff going on. Of course, the headline of the week has been former WWF superstar Jim the Anvil Neidhart was arrested this past weekend on 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance, 2 counts of trafficking in a controlled substance, 1 count of burglary of occupied dwelling, and 1 count of grand theft auto. I don't even know what
for a long time.
I don't know what Jim was thinking, honestly. It's been also reported that when they patted him down because he was getting argumentative with authorities, they found 28 methadone tablets and 95 Oxycontin pills. Several pill bottles in Neidhart's possessions were belonging to the neighbors who had recently reported them stolen. Now, of course, the Wrestling Soup, which is our sister show, and they are in the chat room, actually talked a lot about this the other day. And I'm going to try to get him to call in. He had some interesting news and notes about that. I'm going to try and get him to come on and talk about that a little bit more. There's definitely some stuff that you fans are going to want to hear about that. So we're going to go ahead and talk a couple more things while Anthony Missionary Thomas called in, but I'm going to let him get the floor when he does call in and give you guys the lowdown on what's going on when it comes to this Jim the Anvil Neidhart situation. You said he's been away for a long time.
Yeah, I think he's going away for quite a while. I also think it's safe to not refer to him as Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Oh, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Yeah, you know, I would have to agree with you. I think that is probably a more fitting name for him. Now, also, you know, there's been a lot of talk about why Isis the Amazon, or Alicia, as she is called in WWE, was pulled off of NXT. Well, I have an exclusive scoop. She actually commented on it herself on her website. Of course, various internet news reports reported the other day that the reason that she was pulled off of NXT was because of some erotic, as they put it, erotic photos from the past on the web. Now, here is her statement about this. This morning, I was shocked to discover that a new rumor was circulating on the web pertaining to my removal from the NXT cast. According to articles posted on numerous websites, I was removed from NXT due to WWE discovering erotic photos from the past on the web. While no specific source is named in the articles, the implication is that the information is coming from someone within WWE. In case anyone is interested, I'm going to post a link in the chat room and in the archive with the pictures to this photos that she is talking about. She says she posted the link on her website as well because the photos are already out there, so there's no point in trying to hide them. She finds them embarrassing, not because they're particularly erotic, but because she was overweight and out of shape when they were taken 5 years ago because they're amateurishly shot. I'm sure everyone who's reading this has some pictures somewhere you'd rather not want publicized on the web for the whole world to see. Unfortunately, part of the price of being a celebrity is the fact that people dig around in your past to try and find ways to exploit you as a meaning of increasing their own readership. So she did comment on that. There's a long article, including where she takes shots at Oksana from NXT. You can head on over to IsisTheAmazon.com for more on that. But at this time, I do want to welcome to the line the host of the Wrestling Soup every Thursday at 11:15 p.m. Eastern, 8:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. He is the man, the myth, the shitster himself. Anthony, Missionary Thomas. Now, you, my friend, have a lot of dirt on this Jim the Anvil Nighthawk situation, so I'm giving your ass the floor.
Well, first off, geez, man, thanks for the intro. It's not – all right, there's a bunch of things going on with this whole Jim and the Anvil My Heart thing. First off, from the people that I've talked to, there's a couple people that work for Jim that have basically said that here's the whole situation. Jim took pills from a mutual friend or somebody that he knows. I don't even know if they're friends or their acquaintances or however else you want to spin it. Someone that they knew. The problem was, I'm not going to sit there and pretty much out of like this, but it's commonplace if you're going to take pills from someone, usually you take the prescription label off. In this scenario, he didn't. therefore, when he was busted with the drugs, they asked, where'd you get these drugs from? And obviously, they had the prescription number. Well, the lady that he got it from basically reported it as theft. And there's a few reasons why. One, she didn't want to get caught up. She didn't want her name exposed or anything else like that. Two, she didn't want to get charged with drug trafficking, which who the hell does, especially if you're doing something as a favor to someone else. And three, she's probably scared. What else is she going to do? Now, the only other piece of news that broke, which is kind of interesting, is when did the exact date that the actual the report was filed? That I don't know. And a couple of people have brought it up that it might be a different date or not, meaning that my information might be suspect. But from this side of knowledge, from everything that I've heard, it sounds like pretty much average Joe citizen was terrified of getting caught up in trouble and even more blame hits on Jimmy Anvil Neidhart. Now, I'm not saying he's innocent. Don't get me wrong. Although, to be fair, I'm the last guy people usually ask me about news anyways. But, at the same time, it's a speculative point that you need to keep in mind that there are other factors in this besides what we see face value,
I would have to agree with you. Now, yeah, I can hear you. No, I would agree with you completely on that. I think that, and this kind of goes back to being one of those news, tabloid articles that everyone's picking up on, and I think stuff's going to get twisted and tossed and turned. It's my understanding that he actually bailed out today. Do you know anything about that?
Supposedly his bail was, I believe it was $138,000 is what
138,500, yeah, which is 138,500, which is what, $1,350 pretty much?
No,
right around there?
13,000.
Well, no, because it's 10% most states.
Right, 10% of 138,000 is
13,000. Oh, yeah.
So he's paying the fine, which pretty much means that his prior record, whatever it may be, is high enough or the situation is serious enough for the judge to call for that much for a bail. I don't know if he's ever had problems with, jail before or whatnot, but usually first-time drug offenses and stuff like that, you maybe pay $1,000 and walk out the thing and wait for your court date. It's either a case of they believe that Jimmy Anvil Neidhart is a celebrity, so they're trying to charge him like one, or they're trying to, they're sticking to their book, and he's got a storied past, per se.
Honestly, I think it would probably be the storied past. A lot of the wrestlers from the 80s, I'm not going to name names. Of course, I'm friends with a lot of them. And just hearing the stories and the road stuff that goes on and the crazy, like you even heard the road story with Shockwave. That doesn't even, take the fucking candle compared to some of the stories you hear in the 80s. So I'm sure he has a record pass, and I'm sure that's why his bail was so high. Plus, also, I know when I got arrested, they take everything. And, say it's a misdemeanor, let's say it's a misdemeanor, and it's, a grade 3. Then a grade 3 would cost $1,500, So each count that he took, so say he has two counts of drug trafficking. Now, if that's a felony, now it depends on it. Is it a Class A felony, Class B, Class C? What is it? You know what I mean? Obviously, there's different amounts for each. know, classification, whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor. So this is kind of almost like, you know, and I hate to go back to this, but it's the Jeff Hardy situation all over again. It's like, you know, he got popped with so much that his bail was just outrageous, and now he's going to have to be facing it for the next couple of years, I think.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, I know a lot of people have already been buzzing on the internet wrestling community that, you know, they're already saying what's going to happen to, you know, the Hart family in WWE. Nothing. I don't see why that they would punish anybody, you know, Brett or any of them for the actions of Jim. I mean, it's kind of a facepalm moment, but I don't see them punishing Natalya or you know, TJ or any of them, so I don't know.
You know, and I don't see them doing anything punishment-wise or, you know, doing anything, suspensions or handing out anything because, for one, Jim Neidhart is not in WWE. He is not contracted by any means. And let's just put it this way. The last time we saw him on TV was what? The TNA match against Jay Lethal. You know, other than that, he's really not doing much. He's got his own Facebook page run by a couple different people. I'm not going to name names on that one. But, of course, they're going to stick to their guns on this. But, you know, it's kind of like what's out there, you know. You can sit there and go, well, we're not going to comment. But at the same time, I don't think you need to comment. I think it's all out there for everyone to read.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all public information. I mean, as long as you go through the county office. I actually had all the paperwork, but not available on me because I wasn't expecting to talk about it right off the top of my head. But you can easily access all this information is public. So anybody that just has a little bit of power with Google and knows how to go through some stuff, I mean, you can easily find the county office. You can find, you know, the reports and everything else like that. You know, and pretty much if he does do any jail time, as soon as he gets locked up, you'll find all that too, you know. So it's all public record. They can't necessarily hide it, you know. So.
Exactly. But, I would have to agree with you on that.
What about this whole thing?
Yeah, like honestly, you know, and here's the funniest part about this. I'm gonna tell you guys a story, and this is an exclusive False Count Radio thing. If Missionary wants to use it on Wrestling Super, I could give two shits. But you know, I actually had the opportunity to work with Alicia or Isis the Amazon or Drizzling Shits, as I like to call her. She came in to work for NWWA, which is Northwest Wrestling Alliance here up in Oregon, and he brought her in because she was a sideshow, 6'9", of course. Why else would anybody bring in a 6'9" girl? Ask ICP. So he brings her in. She has all these special reservations because of her height, you know. She needs this, she needs that, she needs no, you know, on the flight, she can't sit under the bulkhead, she can't be here, she can't be there, you know. She gets here, she's 6'9", you know, that's fine and all. She gets to the arena, she gets dressed, she's like, you know, first of all, I had watched matches, and as soon as I was told, you know, hey, they're bringing her in, I was like, dude, why? She's horrible. And that's just my opinion. This is kind of the same thing that came to my head when I saw the WWE hired her. So that night, and it's not on YouTube at all, but now that she's in WWE, I may release the video. Isis the Amazon versus Wade by God Hess, supposed to be for the NWA World Heavyweight title. Wade had a blade in his wrist, because obviously at some point in the match she was supposed to cut. During the match, she grabbed him, and when Tyrus whipped him off the ropes, and when she grabbed him, she slid her arm down his wrist, which cut her open. So she ended up bleeding pretty badly during the match. Now, this shows how green she is, okay, because anybody who knows if you have a gig, you know to be careful around the gig. So
yeah.
She's bleeding all over. She wins. The promoter puts the belt on her, which I'm sorry, at this point, after seeing her abilities and everything, you don't put a belt on her. So he puts the belt on her. She flies, or she goes to the hospital. They find out that she was a cutter when she was a kid.
Wow.
Now, yeah, a lot of people don't know this. So, because I actually was on the phone with one of the people that took her to the hospital, and what the exact thing that the nurses and doctors said to her when she got there was obviously she was cut up from the gig. She was bleeding on her chest, bleeding on her wrist, and all over. But they looked at her wrists, and she had had scars from where she used to cut. I'm sure, you know, if I was a girl who was 6'9", I'm sure I'd probably cut myself. You know, and it's not me saying that, you know, there's anything bad with a 6'9" girl, but obviously I'm sure she got, you know, mistreated, emotionally abused during high school and middle school, so I can understand, but still at the same point, so... Yeah, she was a cutter, I guess, when she was a kid. But, yeah, as soon as WWE signed her, I was really surprised, and especially for them to put her on NXT without even going to the FCW. She had never even stepped foot in the FCW building, and they were already going to put her on TV.
Oh, well, she's, I mean, come on, she's perfect. She's a living, walking, talking freak show. I mean, she has the aspirations to be a wrestler, and she's huge. And did you actually see the pictures? You know, I really got a crap on some of these sites, these wrestling sites out there.
They're not even, like, that explicit. Like, she's in a bikini. Really?
Right. Oh,
WWE,
oh my God,
used
they're putting a triple X, you know.
WWE used to sell magazines with girls that were more skinnily clad than she is in these pictures.
I have heard so many different accusations about why she was fired. She was fired because of those pictures. Oh, really? And because she was fired because Linda McMahon didn't agree with her during those pictures. I'm like, that's funny. Didn't they have Marissa on the show when she was running for her campaign? Didn't they have Mickie James when she was running for campaign? I mean, you know, I guess, you know, a couple of shots in bikinis with you kissing a girl is much worse than almost full penetration in Penthouse. But hey, what do I know? You know, so,
yeah.
It's just absolute garbage. You know, the reason that they released her, I really think, is because supposedly the other thing that was going around, there's a couple different stories, but the one that sounds the most logical is the one where all the women, all the divas supposedly said, I'm not going to work with her. And, I mean, what is Vince going to do? Fire all the divas or fire the one? So.
Yeah, not only that, and I would agree with you, honestly, and what I was going to say, what I think would be a logical reason is Vince hired her. Because John Laurinaitis, or one of the scouts, said, hey, you know, check this girl out. She's 6'9". You know, obviously, we all know because it's been all over the web that Vince has been looking for another giant, whether it was an Asian guy or a black guy or, you know, he's been looking for another giant for a long time. I mean, there was on casting websites looking for a 6'9" Asian, like Yao Ming, you know. So it's obvious that, you know, she was signed for her size. I mean, that's just a given. But I think what it was is after they signed her, and they're like, hey, let's just throw on NXT. It'll get us ratings. I think they went online, and they had watched some of her matches, or they had her wrestle in front of them, and they saw what she was really all about and how lack of her talent is, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that is probably, honestly, probably if you watch her matches, you would see exactly what I'm talking about.
Is it her lack of talent? Is it because she's not trained properly, or is it lack of talent because she's so big and clumsy?
I think it's a mixture of both. She trained with a guy from Coastal Championship Wrestling down in Florida, and they use her as a sideshow act when she was working down there. They do outdoor shows at, like, amusement parks or at, like, other places, and they would have her come out and wrestle, and what they would do is it was Andre the Giant all over again. On house shows, when they bring in, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys and have them squash every one of them, that's what she was doing. She was squashing 3, 4 jobbers at a time. So I think that they put, you know, they probably watched the tape. They probably saw how bad she was. Or they said, you know, since NXT is next week, we're going to go ahead and because we've never seen you in the ring in FCW, we're going to throw you in front of the crowd or in front of the talent scouts and some of the workers before our show, which was probably last week, because we all know that NXT travels with both shows most of the time. So they probably had them on the road last week, just backstage, not doing anything, just on the road to get ready for them to debut. And they probably had to work in front of the road agents and the workers. And they probably all looked at each other and said, really? We're going to book this? Why?
That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I hope.
Have you seen any of her footage?
Girl, but I've only seen like literally a 3-minute match. That was it. So, although I don't know if it's all of her matches, you know.
That's pretty much that right there is pretty much all of her matches. We do actually have Andrew back on the line with us. He had lost signal. Andrew, have you checked out Isis the Amazon or Alicia's matches?
Yeah. I look at her and I get a little ill. To be honest with you, she's disgusting. So I tried to avoid it, but, yeah, I've seen her.
Now, out of all the rumors and speculation, what do you think the most logical answer would be probably as to why they pulled her off TV?
Probably the most logical thing is that she's, quite frankly, green as gold. She's never she hasn't worked a match in developmental yet, and I think they might have gotten criticized a little bit because basically it was like it almost appeared to be a publicity stunt. So, you know, they maybe realized that, so they pulled her off. Honestly, And recently, WWE has made a habit out of, or started to make a habit out of seeing something's working and doing it again. You know, the Nexus works, so they're doing it with season two. The Bryan Danielson work thing is working, so I wouldn't be surprised if this, if she didn't actually get, like, or taken off WWE, or if she shows up halfway through or something of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, they did leave it open for her to return. Of course, you know, Vicky, I fired her storyline. I think that they set it up for her to come back later on in the season. Hopefully she'll have more training by that point, in my opinion.
Especially because just the girl that I can't remember her name because, frankly, I wasn't watching that the Diva Search that much last night. You know, frankly, they're kind of working that storyline where Vicky doesn't really care much for her girl, so wouldn't be surprised to see her get fired halfway through and Isis or whatever they're calling her is the only choice that's available.
So, you know, my personal opinion, though, is I think we're better off as wrestlers and wrestling fans knowing that she is not on WWE TV. I'll be the first to say that as soon as I heard that she was signed, I sent out texts to everybody in the area going, what the fuck, Isis got signed? Really? Are you kidding me? Is this a rib? Is this a publicity stunt? And half the people that texted me back were like, you're fucking ribbing me, and went online to see if we were joking, seriously.
Wow.
So I guess if she really did get signed, which obviously she did, and if she actually does get on TV, then I guess there's hope for everyone in the world if you're a wrestler.
I remember speaking with you the night that they announced her that night, and you saying they're going to do something with her and Kali. Like, she's going to be his new woman or whatever.
I say it's going to be Kali's girlfriend if they bring her back. They've been talking about, you know, Kali's girlfriend and never show her. I think she's going to be Kali's girlfriend. It would make sense.
Hornswoggle.
Ugh. Man, Hornswoggle should be Kali's girlfriend. What are you talking about?
Now, guys, there's two video games coming out for the PS3 and for the Xbox I do want to talk about before we go off the air. Of course, AAA is releasing their first ever Lucha Libre game for the PS3 console next month. You can actually go to GameStop, your local GameStop, and you can pre-order it. And when you pre-order it, you actually get a mask. There's like five different choices. So I know I'm going to be picking it up next month. I'm not a big fan of, if it's anything like the TNA game, I'm probably going to throw it out the window. But I will give it a shot. Now, speaking of video games, WWE has released the roster for the 2011 SmackDown vs. Raw game, and it seems like every year the game gets harder and harder to play because they switch the game modes, but here is the Raw roster. Bret Hart on the Best Buy pre-order exclusive. One More Way will be announced shortly as to how you can get Bret Hart on the game. Sheamus, David Hart Smith, Tyson Kidd, Alicia Fox, and then you've got your regulars like Triple H, Jericho, Edge, and all them. So other than that, new-wise, the only other new characters that are added to the game are Drew McIntyre, Vance Archer, and Luke Gallows, which kind of sickens me, honestly. Sickens me.
You don't want to play Luke Gallows?
No, it sickens me to know that people like Vance Archer and Luke Gallows get on video games. I'm not trying to be a dick, don't get me wrong, but... I mean, what has Vance Archer done that is so mediocre that he deserves a spot in a video game?
I don't know.
Can anybody answer me that?
I think it's just, you know what it is they're doing the exact same thing Madden does. They're doing the exact same thing as the UFC games do. They're just updating games. You know, like, at this point, what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to just rely on the small roster, or do you think they're going to try and change up the physical engine of the game? They're probably not going to change the engine too much. They're probably going to throw in a couple of different angles, maybe a couple of new things to make a creative wrestler. But for the most part, it's going to be an exact copy of last year's.
Now, I'd rather wrestle with Yoshitatsu.
Here's what this year's game has that previous doesn't, because I was on the site as well. Apparently, they're going to add the downloadable wrestlers that you can buy if you care to. But it'll include guys like Wade Barrett and Justin Gabriel and David Otunga. And I understand later, like after the holidays, maybe even Daniel Bryan. But also the legends like the British Bulldog and Lex Luger.
Oh, yeah, Lex Luger. Where's he? I already. Never mind.
He's out of his wheelchair. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, he's out of his wheelchair. We have 30 seconds remaining.
He weighs in the same way with a diva.
Now, we have 30 seconds remaining, Roddy Rather. So I want to thank Missionary. I want to thank you for joining us. And, of course, on behalf of Andrew, I'm Pacific Coast player JT Evans, saying have a good night, stay safe, and we'll see you this Saturday as we present another live interview on False Count Radio. Thank you very much for joining us, fans.